Well, not long after I had gotten my learner's permit in high school and I had gone out one time with my dad to the high school parking lot, and of course, he made me drive a stick the first time we went out, and also to parallel my park the car in the parking lot, which was kind of hard. But anyway, I was so excited to drive and to drive again. And there was a day when my younger sister Kirsten and I were at home. For whatever reasons, my parents were there, but both of our cars were parked in the driveway. We had a Honda Civic, and we had a massive eucalyptus green LTD Ford. It was like a boat with a red plastic interior that you stuck to on any day like today. And I just kept looking out at those cars, and I wanted to drive so badly. And I knew where the car keys were, and I thought, what would it hurt for me to just get in that LTD Ford and just do one little circle around our street and the street that conjoined our street, Alpine? What would it hurt? No one would know. If I just got into that LTD Ford and just did a little joyride around the neighborhood and then came back and parked the car exactly where it was. So with great excitement, heart fluttering, I got the keys, I turned on the LTD Ford, backed out of the driveway, started to drive around Mission, Bell Lane, and Alpine, feeling good. Came back around, started to come up the driveway, and took out the left taillight of my parents' Honda Civic. This came in a little too close, and of course my sister was watching out the window, and I ran up to her and I begged her. I was just feeling anxious and ashamed, and why did I do that? Why did I have to do that? And I said, please, Kirsten, let me tell Mom and Dad when I'm ready. And the minute they pulled up, my sister ran out, Mom, Dad, guess what Blair did? Guess what Blair did? I wonder how many of you have a story like that. In today's first reading from Genesis, God creates Adam out of the earth. And in Hebrew, Adama is earth. So we already have our first wordplay. God places Adam in a garden, the Garden of Eden. Adam's God-given vocation or role is to till and keep the garden. There are many trees in the garden. Adam is told there is only one tree from which he cannot eat, and if he eats from it, he will die that day. God wants Adam to live in community in the garden with the hope of providing a helper or partner for Adam. God begins to fashion a series of animals out of the ground. He's like a potter fashioning these animals out of clay. And as Adam names these creatures, the scene is incredibly playful and humorous. None of them is a suitable partner, not the elephant, not the birds, not the crocodiles. So eventually, God becomes an anesthesiologist and has the man fall into a deep sleep. While asleep, God removes one of Adam's ribs. He fashions the rib into a woman and brings her to Adam or Adam. With this other human being, Adam has the chance to experience community and union. They become one flesh. They are naked and not afraid or ashamed. Their nakedness symbolizing vulnerability and trust. But then the snake enters the picture. The snake has been characterized over the years as evil or Satan. But in the Old Testament, there is no Satan, no personification of evil. The serpent is the first character in the Bible who is critical about God. He is not interested in obedience or trust, but knowledge and trespassing boundaries, even when that knowledge and those boundaries have been prohibited by God. His words pique the couple's curiosity, and they begin to question God's motives. Perhaps the snake is right. Perhaps we will not die when we eat of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden. The fruit is so beautiful. It looks delicious. And if we eat it, we will become wise, knowing good and evil. Perhaps God doesn't have our best interests at heart after all. Perhaps if we eat of this fruit, we too will be like God. After the man and the woman eat the fruit from the one tree God asked them not to eat from, their eyes are opened and they begin to see and experience things from which they were previously exempt. They now know that they are naked and they experience fear, anxiety, and shame. When they hear God walking in the garden, the man and the woman hide. Adam confesses that he hid because, quote, I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. When asked if he had eaten from the forbidden tree, Adam began to blame the woman. The woman blamed the snake. No one was willing to take personal responsibility. Sound familiar? This story, I would argue, is one of the best and the least known stories in the Bible. It's known through the many interpretations and concerns that have been imposed on it over the years. From everything like the fall of humankind from God's graces, or the story of the origin of sin, evil, and death, to other interpretations. And in certain historical periods, the story of Adam, Eve, God, and the garden was understood as a story about how evil came into the world through a woman, and a connection was made between women, evil, and sex. And just a little sidebar, these connections were made most explicitly by Augustine of Hippo in the 4th century, who struggled mightily with his own sexual impulses. In a nutshell, this story has been read and understood through the cultural preoccupations and biases of each age. Right now, we can't help but read it through the lens of the Me Too movement as we focus on the man blaming the woman for making him eat the forbidden fruit. But there is so much more going on in this story if we can look at it with fresh eyes. This story contains a powerful meditation on God's vision for human flourishing and what gets in the way. Although written long ago, it can help us understand the anxiety, distortions, and deep dissatisfaction felt by so many people in our culture today. Surprisingly, God makes clothing for Adam and Eve. He doesn't kill them on the spot, as originally promised, but sends them out of the garden. Their disobedience, their failure to trust God and the boundaries God established has resulted in alienation, shame, and anxiety. These distortions of human life as God intended impact not only their relationship with God, but also with one another. In the garden, they had everything they needed, and they were able to live a life of mutuality. Now, away from the goodness of the garden, they are to live with conflict, pain, and the distortion of desire. This story raises so many questions. Why do we do the things that we're not supposed to do? Why do we have such difficulty trusting God and God's vision for human flourishing? How can we both have the breath of life from God in us and simultaneously use our freedom in ways that hurt others and the earth? What are the consequences of living life autonomously without limits or prohibitions? Are there forms of knowledge that come at too high a cost? In the fourth chapter of 1 John, the evangelist proclaims that perfect love casts out all fear. In today's creation story, we see how perfect fear casts out love. We live in a day and age when we know more than ever before and have pushed the boundaries of what once seemed impossible in areas like technology and medical science. We wonder if we really need God in this day and age. And yet we are more anxious, divided, depressed, and alienated from one another than ever before. We experience guilt and shame and don't know what to do with these things other than see a therapist, which is a really good thing to do. And yet our symptoms, which point to deeper issues, don't go away. Alienation from God, one another, and ourselves. We screw up, and so do others. And there seems to be no mechanism in our culture for facing up to what we have done, asking for forgiveness, changing our ways, and being reintegrated into community. God created us for community. God knows that our well-being comes from living in communities of trust and solidarity with God at the center. Throughout the New Testament, when Jesus heals, speaks to, and touches those who are suffering and alienated from those around them, one of the most important things that he is doing is restoring them to community. Through Christ, we are able to be reconciled to one another through a process of confession, forgiveness, and amendment of life. Humans were created to live in God's world, not a world of their own making. We were made to live in God's world with God's other creatures as stewards on God's terms, not ours. When Mary of Magdala encounters Jesus in a garden after his resurrection, this is no accident. She mistakenly believes that he's the gardener, but perhaps she was onto something after all. In the silence that follows, I want you to think about what is keeping you from the fullness of life God intended. What is keeping you from community, from relationships of trust and mutuality with God and others? Amen.